Hal Gelb is a Tucson-based singer, songwriter, and musician with international acclaim. He's consistently produced music that has both thrilled and confounded his fans and critics. This Saturday evening, The Loft Cinema is presenting the concert film Snow Angel Wingin' It, the document of a musical collaboration between Hal Gelb and the Voices of Praise Gospel Choir.
Are you searching for situation with a less heightened affiliation? Will you know it when you can't believe your eyes? Well, welcome to
Paradise.
How did you end up connecting with the Voices of Praise Gospel Choir? What was the inspiration for working with them?
I was invited to a blues festival. It was the first time I'd ever been invited to a blues festival. And I was almost going to cancel it or think I knew better than the fates at large, and instead went along with it. I just wanted to see what a blues festival is actually like. The first day, there was a few coincidences that took place, and so I know I'm usually on the track of something when they happen. And then the next day, they had me in an actual church, the First Baptist Church of Ottawa. And I had gotten there early to try to find a piano, because they said there was no piano available, and I know there's always a piano in a church if you can sniff it out. So I got there early, found my piano, and the first choir went up to practice. And, you know, for me, when a sound emerges, it holds me fast. I get a bit dizzy, and I can't correspond to time at all. I don't know how much time went by. And then I stayed there for the beginning choir set, and then the choir, I heard sound check. And then it was time for us to play, and then after that, yet another choir took place. And each choir had more and more members. They had the same instrumentation, a five-string bass, drums, and an organ. But the first choir had about, I don't know, maybe a 8 members, and the second had about 12, and then the last one had 35. So after that, I was transformed. I left there thinking how I wish I would have talked to somebody about the possibility of doing a song or a recording together, but I didn't know how or what, and all their material was spiritual. Anyhow, so I found myself sipping a whiskey at the bar in the hotel, the haunted hotel I was staying at just down the road. And that annoying little stir that comes in my head that says, you got to go back to the scene of stumbling upon such a sensation and follow the trail while it's still warm. And maybe that'll lead you to whatever is supposed to happen next. So I tried to tell this stir rather politely that there's no more music on for tonight. But the stir wouldn't have it, would not let me be. So I hit the road, walked down the street, went back to the church, and there was one more unannounced choir late at night playing. And I went in, and I got that same sensation all over again. And when they were done, that's when I finally busted a move and asked them if they thought it would be possible for me to do what I do and them add what they do. And that's when I asked the church president. That's when he said, yeah, if you keep it positive. And if you need a choir. And then he handed me a card. He had a choir. That was 5 choirs in one day to a choir.
The soul rides somewhere inside.
The only other coincidence, which kept on coming, was the choir I just witnessed were going to be the ones that would be on the record. Only I didn't even talk to them that night. I didn't know that would be them.
And was your idea to use material you had already written or to write new stuff with the choir in mind?
I didn't really worry about that at the time because if you were to put it on paper, it would seem impossible. And how I've always worked is by hunches. I follow the so-called winds of change, you know? I kind of begin slouching off in a direction until I find what I didn't know I was looking for, and then I can tell you all about it later, why it probably happened, just to satisfy those urges of people wanting to know these things. So it's kind of a backhanded logic system that has served me pretty well. And I went up to Canada, Ottawa, and it was on the plane where I realized I had no material. But I still hadn't had the choir for sure set up. They were not confirmed. I was going to visit this guy who had a studio in his backyard, and that was about it. And so on the plane, I realized that this might really happen. So I started getting excited, and then the floodgates open, and I start writing the songs on the plane. And when I landed, I saw the guy's studio and got more excited because it was right in my alley. It was just my speed. Well, That's How Things Get Done is a good one because, it's like a self-help pamphlet.
How do things get done?
Exactly. And Reiner, I remember he came up with that one back in the 80s. And, he's just breaking it down step by step how you should get out of bed and get on with the day and get to it. And the choir took off on it. So, and I think you can hear that. They bolster.
What was your communication like with the choir? Did you feel that they got in touch with your sound right away?
I think they found it a challenge. And like I said, I had only the positive stuff. I was kind of leaning on what I thought was positive, material-wise. And I don't know if that was part of it or maybe... it's relatively simple. It's just a guitar and drums and me singing these relatively non-melodic verses. So there's a lot of room for them to work with. So I would give them very, very little indication of which way to go. I mean, every now and then I would say, yeah, if you could put a "but I did not" in here after every line, etc. Or if you could extend an O or an ooh there. But very minimal. It's like they just had some fun arranging it all themselves. And it's very nice, and they were all really, really, sweet and good to be around. And touring with them was, like touring with a city of joy. I mean, it was a pretty up experience.
Keep a little of the promise, but less the lie. From a down there's a mud here to way up sky. Let light and love be kept to the test. Short supply, never enter the net.
That was one of those songs that you write when you don't want to write it because you're falling asleep and you're really drifting off. And these lyrics start coming to you. And, the stir says, get up and go write these down. And then the little lethargic plump fellow on the other shoulder says, you'll remember it later. Just sleep it away and you'll get up and deal with it later. You never do. So, fortunately, I got up and I wrote these lyrics down. Keep little the promise. It starts off saying, don't worry about the promise. As long as you keep less the lie. And then right then and there, that lovely reversal sets up the rest of the song. And the choir seemed to take it to where it always should have gone.
Performing it in this setting and in that venue, did it change meaning for you, the song you've known all these years?
It became more of a celebration. I had a very hard time learning other people's material when I was younger. That's what started me writing songs, because I needed to play, but I couldn't learn other people's songs accurately enough. So now I can go back and learn my old songs. I have half a chance.
So as if working with a new band and a choir in a different environment wasn't enough to take on, then you ended up having a concert filmed.
There's a friend also named Maria Machnach who has been very close with Polly for years, and she did a really cool job on the DVD. She shoots with this lo-fi digital camera that's all duct taped and kind of shoots from the hip, and she came along just so we would have some evidence that this ever happened on a couple of the shows. And then she came again and again, and then eventually she thought she would come to Canada. And unfortunately, there was no snow when she came in. We were hoping for snow, but there was no snow. A year or two later that she started assembling all the stuff, she kept the ideas in her head, and she came up with this like 48-minute film. Most of it had to do with us playing in some of the bigger festivals and on tour. And then she told the story of the recording of it, and she got some old footage and threw it in. And I like how it's assembled. I like how it's put together with these different contrasting pieces of video footage.
What kind of an evening have you got planned this Saturday?
We couldn't bring the choir down. However, we assembled a band, myself with my old friend John Confortino. We played together for years in Giant Sand and then splintered off, and he went with Calexico, as well as my current Giant Sand bass player, Ture Lund from Denmark, who now lives in Arizona, and Jacob Valenzuela, who also plays trumpet in Calexico. The main thing about the Saturday show is that we need to get some money together for the art and music fund for one of the schools in town here, public schools, Miles Exploratory School, where my kids have all gone and John's daughter went. And they cut back the funding, which is going on all over the place these days. And I think it's important enough to somehow do what you can to bring music and art back in the curriculum. So if we can do something as parents and throw in a couple bucks and possibly be entertained at the same time, then we'll give it a shot.
And I stand astonished.
Howe's performance and the benefit screening of Snow Angel Winging It is this Saturday, December 12th at 7:30 p.m. at the Loft Cinema. We've got links for more information available on the radio page at azpm.org.